Hello, and welcome to the Arizona Daily Sun. I'm Helen Hudgens Farrell, and we will be reading from the Arizona Daily Sun, dated Tuesday, December 17, 2024. Looking at the front page, the top story is Axlin to carry torch as sheriff. When Chief Deputy Brett Axlin steps up to become Coconino County's sheriff on January 1, he'll be following in the footsteps of the last three men to hold the job. That's been the path since Joe Richards in 1972, Axlin said. Richards served as chief deputy under Cecil Richardson before being elected sheriff in 1972, a position he would retain until 2004, when his own chief deputy, Bill Pribble, took the job. Pribble, in turn, endorsed then chief deputy Jim Driscoll in 2016. Now at the end of a 50-year career that he called a wild ride, Driscoll is prepared to hand the reins and the challenges of supervising the department's diverse responsibilities across the county with more land area than 9 of U.S. states to Axlin. 7 years ago, when the sheriff asked me to take over the chief deputy position, he was very intentional about succession planning, Axlin explained. He asked me at that point in time if at the end of his second term I'd be interested in being the next sheriff. Really, it's been a 7-year process for me. Axlin announced his candidacy for sheriff in May 2023. He ran unopposed in the Democratic primary election in July and in the general election on November 5th. Driscoll has expressed full faith in his successor's ability to manage the department's future. Axlin, he said, is the full package. He doesn't rattle, which is really important in this job, Driscoll explained. He described Axlin as grounded, family-oriented, and respected by his subordinates. Plus, he added, he has that genuine concern for the community. He believes Axlin will hit the ground running and take the department to the next level. Meanwhile, Driscoll plans to enjoy travel and fly fishing with his wife, time with his grandchildren, and not jumping every time my phone rings. Because I have for 50 years, he said, laughing. I won't miss 50 phone calls a day at home or at night. Staffing struggles. Both the incoming and outgoing sheriff said adequate staffing remains one of the most significant challenges for the department. Driscoll said he sought approval for additional patrol deputies from the Coconino County Board of Supervisors in 2016 before he officially became sheriff. We had gone 18 years without adding a deputy position, he said, at a time when the population of the county was growing. So I said, we need to catch up to where we need to be, and we need at least 12 deputies. In the 8 years I was sheriff, we were able to get 8 new positions, and by the time we get those 4 more, we're going to need 10 more. For deputies, insufficient staffing can mean working longer hours or working without the promise of rapidly available reinforcements. We don't have backup 3 minutes away. We don't have backup sometimes an hour away. It causes concern, Driscoll explained. And for the county, a shortage of deputies often means increased overtime payments, over $500,000 in 2022, before the board approved a new pay plan intended to improve the department's ability to hire and retain personnel. The patrol division, Axlin said, was down to just 3 vacancies as of November, with multiple candidates testing for those available positions. Staffing for the department's detention facilities, however, remains low. We're up to 25 openings in our jail facility, and that's quite a large number, Axlin said. So really, that's our current focus. The problem, he noted, is not limited to Coconino County. The 2017 change to make detention officers eligible for a pension plan has affected detention and correction officer hiring across the state. When you take away that retirement system, you turn a career into a job, Axlin said. But competition from outside the law enforcement sector in Flagstaff is also a factor. We're having to keep trying to raise that detention officer pay to be high enough above the minimum wage where people are willing to work in a jail environment. There's no immediate silver bullet on the horizon for improving staffing levels in the detention facility. According to Axlin, the issue will be one of the major legislative priorities for the Arizona Sheriff's Association this year, the right state of mind. Another persisting issue for the Sheriff's Department and for the community as a whole is mental health. Unfortunately, many times we've criminalized mental health instead of making it a social problem, Driscoll said. Roughly 40% of inmates in the county detention facility have some kind of mental health challenge, he said, and being in detention often exacerbates these problems. They tend to decompensate when they're in custody, he said. The sheriff's office is currently working on an expansion to the jail's medical unit, a move that Axlin said will help increase the availability of medical health assistance. It's a major project. It's very expensive in a jail setting, he said, but we have to be able to treat and care for our inmates because we are directly responsible for their health and well-being. The facility's inmate substance abuse treatment program, Exodus, is once again operating at full capacity, Axlin said, and he praised the Pathways to Community program for connecting people to critical services when they leave custody, thus reducing recidivism rates. In addition to delivering more supportive care inside the jail, Axlin acknowledged the importance of providing appropriate responses to individuals experiencing mental health crisis anywhere in the community. What we know is that a lot of times when we have a uniformed response to someone that's suffering with mental illness, it escalates. It doesn't necessarily solve the problem, he said. He cited the city's CARE, which stands for Community Alliance Response and Engagement Unit, established in partnership with Taros Health in 2022, as one example of an alternative response. Taros Health also provides mobile crisis response services in other parts of Coconino County. Within the last few months, he noted, mental health experts have been stationed in the Emergency Services Dispatch Center to help de-escalate callers remotely, if possible. Neither program, however, will completely eliminate the need for sheriff's deputies to deal with mental health challenges in the field or the need for detention staff to deal with similar challenges in a jail. I don't see that changing soon, Driscoll said, because we don't have other viable places or alternatives right now. Staying true to trust. A potential new challenge for Axeland and the Sheriff's Office comes from the passage of a statewide ballot measure in the November general election. Among its various components, Arizona Proposition 314 designates crossing the U.S. border unlawfully as a state crime. It is already a federal crime and makes state and local law enforcement officials responsible for arresting undocumented immigrants. It passed by a wide margin overall, but by a thin margin of only 100 votes in Coconino County. The legal enforceability of the measure remains unclear. It is modeled after a Texas law that is currently under review by federal courts, and it cannot go into full effect until Texas's law or a similar one in another state has been enforced for 60 days. But if confirmed, it would drastically alter the role of local law enforcement, transforming police officers and sheriff's deputies into the vanguard of deportation efforts. When asked about the possible ramifications of the law, Axeland said he believes that full enactment of Proposition 314 would jeopardize the relationship between the sheriff's office and the community. I'll tell you my fear, Axeland said, and that is if our community members that live here are afraid to call us when they're a victim of a crime, then we fail. What we do not want is people to be afraid that they're going to go to jail if they've been victimized by a crime. At this point, it's not our intention to enforce that, and I'll say that to this community, he continued. There's a long legal process that this is going to have to go through, but I'll tell you right now, I want people to be able to trust us. We go right back to public trust. I want people to trust that when they call us, we're not going to take them to jail for some other reason than why they were calling and needing our protection. We can't do this alone. It won't be all headwinds for the incoming sheriff. Axeland is confident in the department's strengths. One of those is the strong contingent of volunteers who contribute to the department's operations. Though not a replacement for sworn deputies or detention employees, these volunteers fill other roles and bring a lot to the table, Axeland said. We've got hundreds of volunteers that save us a ton of money to the county, and they have an expertise that is unbelievable, he noted. Volunteers are critical to the Community Emergency Response Team, which improves the county's disaster preparedness, to the office's Cold Case Unit, which reviews unsolved homicides, and to the programming available in the county's detention facility. We're receiving request after request to get back into that jail after COVID, so they could get religious services or job-type skill set training to those people, Axeland said. Driscoll similarly praised the volunteers who assist the department. All the people who come in and do this stuff for free, he said, is just an amazing thing to have. Perhaps the most well-known volunteer program is the County Search and Rescue Team. Search and rescue operations have been state-mandated responsibilities of Arizona County sheriffs since 1971, though some sheriff's offices formed search and rescue units earlier. But when Driscoll first became a deputy in 1974, the county's search and rescue unit was little more than a loose association. It was a bunch of guys driving Jeeps. That's all it was, he said. Besides the Jeeps, the county had a military surplus Snowcat, a tracked vehicle used for winter operations. And when it ran, Driscoll said, it worked fine. It didn't always run. It broke down frequently. Driscoll credits former Sheriff Joe Richards for professionalizing the county's search and rescue. Now the unit has a dedicated warehouse space at the sheriff's headquarters in Flagstaff, a wide array of specialized equipment that can be deployed or pre-positioned across the county, and more than 100 volunteers overseen by two coordinators. The majority of the search and rescue unit's activity takes place on federally managed public lands, and the team frequently works alongside the U.S. Forest Service, National Park Service, and Department of Public Safety. Those types of partnerships, whether in search or rescue or in law enforcement operations, are another key asset for the sheriff's office, Axland says. From cooperation with local police to support from federal investigators, interagency relationships bolster the sheriff's relatively small force. We can't do this alone, Axland said. We're in the second largest county in the United States at over 18,600 square miles, and we don't have enough people to go around without developing those relationships and then maintaining them. The most important relationship, both Driscoll and Axland stressed, is the one between the sheriff and the public. We exist to serve the community. That's the only reason we're here, Driscoll said. That's what's important. We're working for the community and trying to do the best we can to provide public safety and still meet their needs at the same time. Axland similarly emphasized the unique elected role of the sheriff and the responsibility to the public that carries. Our focus is always on the public trust, he said. If we don't have that public trust, then we are not doing our job. And he believes the relationship is strong. We really enjoy a lot of community support, he said. That's what motivates me. I know we hear from a lot of our people that that's what motivates them. Here's our next story. Six judges vying to replace Nichols. The Coconino County Commission on Trial Court Appointments will meet Thursday to review applicants for the Superior Court vacancy created by the retirement of Judge Kathleen Nichols. The meeting will be in the Jury Assembly Room of the County Courthouse, 200 North San Francisco Street, at 8:30 a.m. The Commission will accept public comments during the meeting and vote on which applicants to interview. Interviews for selected applicants will take place January 9, 2025. Following the interviews, the commission will recommend at least three nominees to Arizona Governor Katie Hobbs, who will then make an appointment. Six people submitted applications for the open position. Rise S. Campbell, Charles W. Dougherty, Brent D. Harris, Neil E. Sherman, Marianne E. Sullivan, and Adam K. Zickerman. Campbell is currently Flagstaff's assistant city prosecutor. He previously worked for the Coconino County Public Defender's Office and also served as a contract public defender in Kingman and Lake Havasu Municipal Courts. He has practiced family law and dependency law in multiple county and tribal courts. Dowdy is the senior Arizona attorney for DNA People's Legal Services, a nonprofit legal aid organization. He serves on the board of directors for Native Americans for Community Action and the Literacy Center in Flagstaff, and he has been an adjunct instructor at Northern Arizona University. Dowdy spent approximately 8 years working for the Coconino County Public Defender. He has experience with felony cases, eviction and housing law, family law, and public benefits across municipal, county, and tribal courts. Harris is Judge Pro Tempore of the Coconino County Superior Court Division 4, appointed June 2022. Prior to that role, he was the Chief Prosecutor for the Flagstaff City Attorney's Office for 6 years. His earlier career in private practice included contract work as a public defender in Flagstaff and Camp Verde, as well as civil litigation, guardianship and conservatorship law, estate planning, and real estate law. Sherman is an attorney with the Flagstaff-based firm Antall and Sherman PC. His firm specializes in criminal defense and family law. He has previously worked for the Flagstaff City Attorney's Office and the Arizona Attorney General's Office, and has also been a sign language interpreter. Sullivan is the Senior Assistant City Attorney for Flagstaff, providing legal advice and review, as well as legal representation for the city's police and fire departments. She has previously served as a prosecutor for both the city and county, including time as a prosecutor for the Metro Interagency Narcotics Task Force, totaling approximately 10 years. Her other experience includes a stint with the Arizona Attorney General's Office and 6 years at the Children's Law Center of Los Angeles. Zickerman currently serves as presiding magistrate for the Williams Municipal Court, as well as judge pro tempore for the Williams Justice Court and a contract prosecutor for the Page Municipal Court. He is the owner of the Zickerman Law Office, PLLC, in Flagstaff, which specializes in criminal defense, civil litigation, and family law. He has previously worked for the Coconino County Attorney's Office and the Apache County Attorney's Office, totaling about 7 years, and also worked as an adjunct faculty member at Coconino Community College and Northern Arizona University for approximately 13 years. Per the state constitution, the nominees submitted to the governor cannot all be of the same political party affiliation. All of the candidates, except for Sullivan, listed their current affiliation as Democrat. Sullivan stated in her application that she is registered as an independent voter. Meanwhile, Sherman and Zickerman stated that they were previously registered as Republican and independent, respectively, but are now registered as Democrats. The full applications of the candidates can be found at azcourts.gov. The next story on the front page, K-12 schools continue building for students. This is part of the year in review. Looking back, 2024 included several continuing efforts from K-12 schools across Flagstaff. Both charter schools and those in the Flagstaff Unified School District, or FUSD. The year included ongoing construction projects, efforts to reduce absenteeism, and bus eligibility reductions for FUSD students. The district also adopted new curricula and join statewide efforts to increase students' academic achievements. Students and student organizations from schools throughout the city also had several notable achievements, from winning a competition to taking the initiative to organize a new event. Here are the top stories from K through 12 education in 2024. FUSD transportation tribulations. In response to an ongoing bus driver shortage, FUSD implemented new transportation reductions while continuing those from the previous year. The changes took effect upon students' return from winter break at the start of January 2024, meaning an estimated 600 high schoolers needed to find new ways to and from school. After reducing its bus routes at the start of the 2023-2024 school year, FUSD announced additional changes in December 2023 in response to a requirement from the Arizona Department of Public Safety. District leaders said the bus driver shortage meant they needed to respond by reducing the number of students taking district buses to school rather than adding routes. The district worked with Mountain Line, the local public transit service, to provide free bus passes to affected students, an arrangement that continued into the current school year. The fall semester then started with a further reduction in bus service, which meant elementary students attending an out-of-boundary school were no longer eligible to take the bus. FUSD also received an Environmental Protection Agency grant to replace two of its buses in June with electric ones, which they will use to test whether to move further toward electrifying its fleet. A new course for training CDL drivers opened at Northern Arizona University's campus in the spring, which the University Coconino Community College in Mountain Line plan to use to train drivers. Mountain Line has also been making plans to expand its services after the November passage of a ballot measure that both continued and increased the transit tax. Schedule changes for FUSD schools. FUSD announced two changes to its school schedules this year, one of which has already taken effect. The district announced in January that it would be moving its weekly half days to Friday for all of its schools with the start of the 2024-2025 school year. FUSD's schedule includes one early release day a week to allow time for teacher preparation, professional learning, and collaboration. Previously, the early release schedule was divided by grade level, with middle and high schoolers and students at Puente de Hoyo Elementary School having a Wednesday early release, and the rest at FUSD's elementary schools releasing early on Fridays. The change was based on feedback from the district families and staff. In April, FUSD then announced a plan to switch start times between its elementary and secondary schools. This would move the elementary start and end times earlier and mean middle and high school students both arrive and leave later than in the current schedule. FUSD has not yet finalized the arrival and dismissal times for after this change, and it said changes will take effect in August 2025. FUSD Superintendent Michael Pinka said this is a change FUSD has been considering for over a decade, and that research shows benefits of a later start time for teenagers including focus, mental well-being, learning, and school attendance. A survey of district staff and families found a nearly even split between strong support and strong opposition to this change, Pincus said, with slightly more people in support. At the time, he said, FUSD planned to communicate finalized school schedules to families in December. Continuing construction projects. Several construction projects across both FUSD and local charter schools moved forward this year. FUSD demolished the former Flagstaff Middle School building in the spring to prepare for the construction of a new Marshall Elementary building on the site, planned to be ready for students in October 2025. So the groups that had been renting space in the building needed to find a new location midway through the school year. NAU's Early Learning and Development Center moved to a building on the university's campus in response, as did Flagstaff Junior Academy, FJA, Middle School. This will be a temporary location for FJA, as it has been doing construction work on a new middle school campus on McMillan Mesa. The new campus will be made of modular classrooms built off-site and is now expected to be ready for students in time for the start of the 2025-2026 school year in August. FUSD also broke ground on a new lodge and other improvements at Camp Colton this fall, and held a blessing ceremony for a completed hogan at Flagstaff High School. In May, Northland Preparatory Academy broke ground on its own construction project, a new building dedicated to STEAM education, and it is expected to be finished in time for the 2025-2026 school year. Continued declining enrollment at FUSD. FUSD continued to see declining enrollment for both of the school years that included 2024. An enrollment update listed in the December 10th Governing Board meeting agenda places the district's total enrollment at 8,817 students as of November 21st. FUSD's board heard a report in April showing enrollment had decreased at the elementary, middle, and high school levels between the 100th day of school in 2023 and 2024, while its preschool enrollment increased by about 20 students. At the start of the current 2024-2025 school year, Pincus said FUSD was seeing the continued decline it had projected. A trend he said is contributing to this decrease is that kindergarten enrollment is lower than the total of high school seniors, meaning fewer students are entering the school than are graduating. He attributed this to a declining birth rate rather than a lower percentage of kids born in Coconino County attending FUSD schools. Some ways in which the district is trying to grow enrollment include expanding its preschool programs and a study with Vitalist on how it could offer housing to employees. FUSD joins Project Momentum. In an effort to increase its students' growth in math and English, FUSD joined a statewide initiative called Project Momentum. The goal of Project Momentum is for participating schools to increase their student achievement in both language arts and math, and to do so at a higher rate than Arizona as a whole. At the time it joined, Pinka reported that the district was below the state's average growth rate in standardized testing. The district received a $1.67 million grant from the Arizona Department of Education to support its participation. All FUSD schools will be involved in the initiative for at least the next 2 years. The funding has been used in 5 areas: teacher funding, professional learning, leadership, curriculum guide development, and other needs. Curriculum changes. FUSD adopted a new curricula for sexual health and math this year. FUSD adopted a new sexual health curriculum for 9th graders after 2 public hearings in April and July that included several comments from community members, both in favor and against the curriculum's use. The Positive Prevention Plus curriculum is taught by an educator from Coconino County Health and Human Services and began implementation in October. The district plans to add the new curriculum for 7th grade in the 2025-2026 school year. The district is piloting the Bridges of Mathematics curriculum in 6 elementary schools this academic year in partnership with the Math Learning Center. FUSD's other 4 elementaries are set to adopt the curriculum next year. About 100 district teachers received training on the Bridges curriculum over the summer, and FUSD has also been implementing an updated version of the current math program for 6th through 12th graders called Illustrative Mathematics. FUSDs were not the only schools to make curriculum changes this year. With the start of the 2024-2025 school year, Flagstaff Arts and Leadership Academy incorporated project-based learning into its students' weekly schedule. FUSD studies employee housing options. In August, FUSD's board approved a grant from the Vitalist Health Foundation that would allow the district to conduct a feasibility study of potential housing projects. The grant totals $5,000 and would allow the district to partner with a contractor or developer on a study. A few potential sites will be selected for study of how housing could be added and the pros and cons of doing so. There isn't a set time for this study, though it is expected to be complete by the end of the fiscal year in July. Efforts to expand teacher housing have also been happening at school districts across the county through a pilot teacherage program from Coconino and Yavapai County Superintendents of Schools. Star School TikTok response. In November, a video posted to TikTok that misidentified Star School students participating in a class activity as undocumented immigrants led to online threats and the school's first lockdown. The video shows Star School students on a wellness walk near their school's campus. It is narrated by someone saying that the students are speaking in a foreign language and who questions how the students came to be at that location. Star is a K-8 charter school to the east of Flagstaff that primarily serves Navajo students and includes Diné language teaching in its curriculum. School director Jeannie Gross said quarterly wellness walks are part of the school's wellness policy, and this was a route they had used multiple times. Threatening comments on the video caused the school to go on a soft lockdown for about an hour that afternoon after middle schoolers saw the TikTok and showed it to the school staff. Students and staff were instructed to stay indoors while school administration contacted parents, their attorney, and the Coconino County Sheriff's Office. The sheriff's office contacted the person who posted the TikTok and sent an officer to the school as it let out for the day. Star School had meetings with parents and staff the following week to discuss the incident and potential responses, as well as any changes needed to security. I think it's been a bit of a reality check for all of us, staff, students, families, Gross said. There was a lot of fear generated from this, feeling like they're possibly targets, whether that was the intent of the TikToker or not. It did impact our school in a very real, frightening, negative way. New board members elected. Three new members will be joining FUSD's governing board next year as a result of the November election. A total of seven candidates ran for the three full-term open seats this year, while Aaron Serzan ran unopposed for the sole two-year seat. Serzan had been appointed to the role in June following then-board member Christine Pavlik's resignation earlier in the year. Carolyn Kidd, Melissa Kirk, and Courtney Z. Sigger will take their seats on the board in January, replacing members Dorothy Dinetsosi Gishi, Carol Gilmore, and Christine Fredericks. Student achievements. The year also included several achievements from Flagstaff students. Three students at the Montessori School of Flagstaff took projects to the statewide science fair. A pair of kindergartners at Haven Montessori placed first in a state chess competition, and a Coconino High School student designed a winning phone app. FUSD used funds from a vaping settlement for an ongoing participatory budgeting project through which student council researched different school improvements they could use funds for that were then voted on by the entire student body. The Coconuts entered the first Robotics Hall of Fame after winning the Impact Award at the 2024 World Championship, while Dee McGill's Odyssey of the Mind teams, a culinary team at Flagstaff High School, and the Coconino High Interior Design team were recognized for achievements at various competitions. Other students put together their own events. A BASIS senior and other high schoolers organized a hackathon. CHS students designed a recording studio, and fourth graders at Killip Elementary designed and fundraised for a field trip to Walnut Canyon. Other notable stories. Some other notable developments in local K-12 education this year included Northern Arizona Healthcare's donation of bleeding control kits to FUSD schools, updated school letter grades, and continuing efforts to address chronic absence and expand career and technical education options across FUSD. And for the final front page story, Flagstaff General Store changes hands. From its original location along Highway 89 to its current space facing out toward Heritage Square in downtown Flagstaff, the Flagstaff General Store has always been adapting and evolving. Envisioned with the spirit of small-town general stores her mother grew up with, Heidi Krueger initially opened the doors of the Flagstaff General Store in 2014, making available a mix of new and used items, furniture, and offerings created by local artists. A move to downtown Flagstaff in the summer of 2017 prompted a slightly different approach, one that continued when the shop shifted again around the corner to its current location along Aspen Avenue. There was no way I could have stayed the same as I was on 89, Kruger said. I felt it was a very big local spot, destination shopping, and people had to come to me, which was a harder way to start. But it was small enough that I could start that way. As I moved downtown, I pivoted a little bit toward more tourists, but was still keeping the whole idea of having local stuff or handmade stuff. Through all the twists and turns of the journey, which included a battle against the COVID-19 pandemic, Kruger expressed the business exceeded anything she could have expected a decade ago. Now, one more change will come to the Flagstaff General Store, as Kruger herself moves on as well, with her friend Christy Kincaid taking over as the owner of the business. With her youngest child set to graduate from high school and itch to travel once again coming about, Kruger began to look for someone who might want to take over the business. Having taken time away from the store during COVID and seeing it suffer slightly in her absence, she did not want to see a similar result if she took time away again. I just kind of put it out to the universe, Kruger said, of a possible sale. The best part of my youngest son and Kincaid's youngest son are best friends. It was like the stars aligned. Kruger and Kincaid said the conversation originated this fall, back on registration day for their son's senior year. The idea blossomed from there as Kincaid determined she was truly interested in the opportunity to run a business that would be both fun and creative while carrying on what has become a staple in the community over the past 10 years. I'm just so grateful for what she brought to the town, Kincaid said. Actually, I first met Heidi at her store on Highway 89. I'm excited to be in this community with all these other women that she's been a part of. She's built a great thing, offering a wide range of items such as home decor, clothing, jewelry, candles, soaps, books, Flagstaff keepsakes, and for the season holiday decorations. Flagstaff General Store's vast array of options is a welcome change from Kincaid's previous business. I just got excited about it. I've owned my other businesses and they were hard. And this is going to be hard. I won't say that it's going to be easy, Kincaid said. But what I'm going to say is that it's going to be fun. It's going to be more me. And the address, Flagstaff General Store, is 21 East Aspen Avenue. The website, flagstaffgeneralstore.com, 928-225-2057. We have a couple of briefs. County announces H5 avian influenza detected in wastewater. Coconino County Health and Human Services confirmed on Thursday that H5 avian influenza had been detected in wastewater sampling. The specimens were collected at the Rio de Flag Water Reclamation Plant and the Wildcat Hill Water Reclamation Plant. The source of the virus is suspected to be from chickens and wild birds. However, other sources cannot be ruled out. There are no reports of human or animal H5 cases in Coconino County. Wastewater or sewage can be tested to detect traces of infectious diseases circulating in a community, including H5, and provides an indicator for further investigation and an opportunity to reinforce prevention measures. Wastewater sampling is routinely performed by Arizona Department of Health Services as part of ongoing statewide surveillance. Translational Genomics Research Institute, or TGen, also detected H5 in Flagstaff wastewater and identified the presence of chicken and wild bird DNA, indicating that chickens and birds may be a source of H5 presence in the wastewater. Since there are confirmed cases of H5 infection in the state, this is expected. There is no evidence that human-to-human transmission of H5 avian flu is occurring to date. According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the risk to the general public from H5 remains low. H5 is a novel influenza A virus that primarily affects birds. Although human infection with H5 are rare, exposure to animals infected with H5 or environments in which infected animals have been present increase the risk of individuals becoming infected. H5 infection in people can range from mild upper respiratory symptoms, conjunctivitis, to severe pneumonia, multi-organ failure, and death. Individuals who develop any of these symptoms should contact their healthcare provider and mention recent exposure to birds. CCHHS encourages residents to follow these best practices when around animals or when consuming animal products. People should avoid unprotected contact with sick or dead animals and their droppings or bedding. Residents are encouraged to report sick pets to their veterinarian. If you see signs of illness in your poultry consistent with the H5 symptoms listed above, report them immediately to USDA at the Sick Bird Hotline at 1-866-536-7593. Visit coconino.az.gov/H5avianflu for more information. And the next brief, pump house wash forest restoration work to begin. The Coconino National Forest and Arizona Department of Forestry and Fire Management are beginning a project aimed at restoring forest lands in the pump house wash area near Flagstaff's Kachina Village community. Crews are preparing for timber sales on a 2,500-acre parcel of land located near Kachina Village in Forest Highlands as part of the Pump House Community Protection Project. Timber crews have started delineating project boundaries and designating trees to be removed as part of the thinning project. By cutting and removing trees from overgrown community adjacent areas, forest managers can reduce overcrowding and restore local landscapes to healthy, resilient conditions. Once timber sale preparation has concluded, the Arizona Department of Forestry and Fire Management will advertise timber contracts to local loggers. The contract is expected to be rewarded mid to late 2025, with thinning activities beginning shortly afterward. The project area will remain open to the public during the sale preparations and thinning operations, but recreational users and adjacent landowners should expect to see an increase in activity in the area and are asked to remain cognizant of any vehicles or heavy machinery in the area. The Pump House Community Protection Project was authorized by the Record of Decision for the 4 Forest Restoration Initiative Environmental Impact Statement, which was signed in 2015. And a quick look at sports. FHS boys win Pepsi tourney. NPA boys claim consolation crown. A close call against the Snowflake Lobos on Thursday evening was as close as anyone came to knocking off the Flagstaff Eagles in their own annual Pepsi Holiday Invitational. most notably Saturday night's championship game against Snowflake, was nowhere near as dramatic as Flagstaff's tournament opener. Defeating the 3A Conference Lobos 76-54 to keep the Pepsi Tournament trophy in Flagstaff this year, the Eagles capped off a run of three consecutive 20-point victories over the Invitational final 2 days. Northland Prep 63, Safford 52, Northland Prep 59, Seligman 49. After 5 games, the 2A Northland Prep Academy Spartans finished in 5th place as the consolation champions in the Pepsi Holiday Invitational at Flagstaff High School. Despite the Spartans playing many games the past 2 weekends, Northland Prep continued to put on a performance and came away with a trophy. Other scores from the tournament: girls basketball, Sholo 54, Flagstaff 51, and Camp Verde 61, Flagstaff 34, Seton Catholic 46, Coconino 34, and Burgate Catholic 42, Northland Prep 16. In a U roundup, Payne becomes all-time leader in coaching wins. The Northern Arizona women's basketball team had plenty to celebrate Saturday. The team defeated visiting San Francisco 92-83 at the Roll Activity Center as Lumberjacks head coach Lori Payne recorded her 118th career victory at Northern Arizona, setting the all-time wins record for the women's program. In men's basketball, Northern Arizona fell to Pepperdine Waves in California on Saturday afternoon in an 86-76 final. That's all the time we have for today. Thank you for joining us for news from the Arizona Daily Sun. I'm Helen Hudgens Farrell, and I wish you a very good night.
The Easter Bunny told me that Christmas isn't real, but Santa Claus is still Jesus. The gift-giving season is an interesting reason to make everyone fall. The spirit held up high, but I need Romeo in way. Everything feels so alive for the very first time. The Easter Bunny gave me some coupons I can use to buy some love for my Valentine, like dump trucks and diamonds and roses and walnuts and gift cards to the diamond store. But those roses and the floor, and they've got pretty cool prices, but I think we can lower it. And if you don't enjoy them, we'll let you buy more at the diamond store. The Easter Bunny showed me that English isn't real, and the only language is feelings. It's the Christmas season, and there's gifts on the trees, and the material world. Christmas isn't real, but Santa Claus is still a twin.